New ideas and new technology are causing seismic shifts in the media industry. Where are we headed? What does it mean? Keep listening. Media strategist Gabriella Mirabelli talks with the brightest minds in entertainment and business. Meet the innovators, the risk takers, and the disruptors on the front lines of change from Hollywood, Wall Street, Silicon Valley, and beyond. The future is coming to a screen near you. Are you ready? This is the Up Next podcast with Gabriella Mirabelli.
Welcome to Up Next. I'm your host, Gabriella Mirabelli. My guest today is Jason Burke, VP Strategic Development for Clipped, a Boston-based startup building an advertising technology platform exclusively for the TV industry and designed to empower media companies with actionable sales tools. As one of the first employees at Clipped, he spent over 3 years as VP Product, leading the product and operations teams and bringing innovative products to the $220 billion television advertising market. Prior to Clipped, Jason spent 6 years building ad technology products for online video at ScanScout and Tremor Video, where he had responsibility for product management, technical strategy, and operations efforts. Jason, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Gabriella.
First of all, you're one of the earliest employees at Clipped. How were you introduced to it?
Yeah, so I joined the company just about 5 years ago. So we actually celebrated our fifth anniversary of the company yesterday, and I joined several months into following the founding of the company. I had spent the prior 7 years in building similar technologies, optimization technologies for advertising and online video. And the two co-founders of Clipped were introduced to me through a mutual contact, and they had come from the advertising world, but from mobile. So the three of us had come from a more digital world, and we're trying to make our way into linear television and applying these same learnings and innovations that we built in the digital world into linear TV. And that's what we're focused on in Clipped, is bringing optimization and intelligence to the world of TV advertising.
Okay. Can you explain? I mean, obviously that sort of gives the why, what drives you guys, but can you explain, not everybody is familiar with the term programmatic TV. Can you explain what that is? And is that different from programmatic advertising? Are they the same? Sort of what does it mean?
Yeah, you know, we actually tend to minimize the use of the word programmatic TV. And part of that is just because of the confusion, exactly the question you're asking around what is programmatic TV. And depending on who you talk to, you'll likely get a different answer when you talk to John versus when you talk to Mary. But the way I like to think about programmatic, whether it's in the digital world or the TV world, is the use of software to drive transactions within an advertising medium. So programmatic was born in the digital world and is often coupled to terms like auction and real-time bidding. Those concepts, things like real-time, don't exist in the television world just because of the way that the plumbing is built within TV. The notion of an auction is really just a pricing mechanism. That doesn't, not to say it can't exist in the TV world, but is generally unlikely to exist based on the way the businesses work. But the use of software to make decisions in planning and determining how to price inventory and how much an advertiser may be willing to spend, and predictions on who might be watching a particular program, is absolutely relevant in TV. So while we don't like to refer to programmatic television, what we think of, if there is a concept of programmatic television, it's the use of software platforms for creating that transaction between buyer and seller.
So are you on the selling side or the buying side?
Yeah, so Clipped is an ad tech platform, obviously, as I was mentioning, focused on television, and our platform is used by sales organizations, so we're on the sell side. So our customers are ad sales groups within national cable networks and national broadcasters. So they're equivalent or similar sorts of platforms that work for the buy side, for agencies and advertisers, and often known as DSPs. They're focused on driving towards KPIs of the brand, whereas our customer is the media owner. So we're looking at things, our platform is being used to drive things like yield and drive performance for our customer's customer, who is the brand. So helping generate schedules that are optimized towards delivering to the audience that the brand is looking to hit.
Mm-hmm. So with upfronts, when the networks are selling all of their ad or a lot of their ad time up front, do you participate in that? Or are you what's sort of left over after that? How does that work?
Yeah, so our platform can be thought of as a set of tools that the ad sales team within these companies are using to empower their team to better sell their advertising inventory. So if you think about a cable network, Family and Fox Network Group and Discovery Communications are two of the companies that are using the Clip platform to introduce advanced audience sales into their strategies. Those teams are selling advertising in the upfronts and they're selling at the scatter market throughout the year. So the platform is being used in both areas. The other business line that Clip supports, in addition to supporting a cable network family's private marketplace where they're using these tools with their existing agency and brand partners, we also support an open marketplace, which is making available for sale ad inventory from multiple media owners, similar to in the digital world an exchange. It's commingled inventory across multiple national media owners and making that available for sale to buyers.
I see. And is this the kind of, like, in terms of the data that you're collecting, and is that all, that data is stuff that's pulled by the program owner, the entertainment publisher, for lack of a better term, is that right? Or are you integrated into their systems and so you're pulling it, or are they pushing it into you? And then what types of data are you getting?
Sure. So there's a lot of data that is informing the results of what the Clip platform builds. And really what we're building in the ad sales use case is schedules that are optimized, TV schedules that are optimized towards the audience that the programmer, the cable network is the client of that cable network. So that think of Fox selling to Nike, and Nike is trying to reach marathon runners. So they're looking to get a TV ad schedule that maximizes the delivery against runners of marathons. So there's a lot of data that's going into the decisioning that our platform uses in putting together that schedule. So there are things from the media company, things like pricing and rate cards, negotiated rates that happen between Nike and Fox or Nike's agency and the programmer. There are things like what inventory is available and not yet sold. So there's a bunch of data that's coming into our platform through our integrations with the media owner systems. And then we're also using, as a core piece of our IP, is in forecasting audience. TV is a futures market, unlike the digital world where Gabriella goes to boston.com to watch a video. And at the time that you watch that video, an ad call is being made out to different ad servers, demand side platforms who are looking at all the cookies on your computer and realizing that you may own a dog. So let's serve her a Purina ad. That's all happening in real time. Whereas TV is a futures market. These ads are sold potentially several quarters in advance of when the programs in which these ads will show up, several quarters in advance of these programs airing. So there is a need to forecast audience. So in that Nike use case, how can we predict who the audience is that will be watching programs that are going to be happening 6 months out in the future? So for that, we're using data from commercially available data from companies like Nielsen, who have TV viewership data. There are also various audience-based TV viewership data sets that are helping understand viewership patterns and actual viewership of audiences that go beyond age and gender. So things like those, what programs are people watching who run more than 5 times a week or more than 30 miles a month, for example, and using all of those pieces of data to predict the future and using that to make decisions on how to put together an ad schedule that delivers against the key audience.
Right. So it's not purely the age and gender, but it's these other things as well that are becoming, I would imagine, more interesting to people who are buying ads, because then sometimes it may not be what you might think.
That's really what the industry is making moves towards. And not to say that buying on age and gender is going away. Today, you know, probably 98%+ of TV advertising, the $72 billion market of TV advertising is bought and sold on Nielsen age and gender. But advanced audiences can be used to inform and or customize that ad schedule to, one, continue to deliver against adults 18 to 49, because that's the way the industry works today. That's the way many of the legacy systems that power this huge market are built to operate, but using additional data sets to fine tune that schedule so that it delivers against that age and gender guarantee, but maximize the delivery against the marathon runner. I think we will see as time moves on and more software platforms like Clipped are put in place, we'll start to see actual guarantees where a cable network family is guaranteeing delivery against those marathon runners. So various changes need to happen across several different areas for that to become a reality, but that's goldmine when that does happen.
Isn't that what, didn't NBC make a guarantee of that type last year? Is that right? Am I getting that right? I thought they did. I thought Linda Yaccarino made...
Yeah, Linda's team is one of the groups that's making big moves in advanced audience sales. The handful of other programmers in that same national programmers that are doing similar things. Some are building their own technology, their own teams to create these innovations in-house. Some are using platforms like Clips. So as I was mentioning, Fox Network Group and Discovery are leaders in this space in sort of enhancing the way that their team is making these innovations available to their customers. And they're using platforms like Clipped to make that happen. But there's a handful of the big media owner companies that are making moves in this world. We'll start to see that hockey stick get steeper and steeper over the next several years.
How it does seem that it takes a certain amount of time to ramp up and to get into a place where you can do this. How many competitors are in your space? And then what would you say is the differentiator? Why a network like Fox or Discovery picks you and your platform?
It's a huge, huge market. $72 billion is a lot of ad spend, and that's just in the U.S. I think the worldwide ad spend number is about $220 billion. So it's a huge market. We saw how data-driven ad decisioning took over the digital ad market in over the last 5 years. It's been making its way into TV. So there is a lot of interest in making this happen. And as far as our competitors, I mean, we see them fall into several buckets. We happen to be, right from the beginning, we're 100% focused on TV. The company started 5 years ago with no product. We built the product exclusively for TV and exclusively for media owners. Some of the what you might consider competitors have a few differences. Some of the companies that are doing similar things are focused on the demand side, as I was mentioning. So it's really hard for an ad platform to work for both sides. What I like to say is you can't be a Red Sox fan and a Yankees fan at the same time.
No, you can't.
For the buy side.
Absolutely can't.
As a company with a Boston headquarters and decent sized team in New York, it's always a fun one to tell. But you can't obviously you can't optimize towards the KPIs of the buy side and the sell side at the same time. Certain KPIs are opposing. Then we have some competitors that appear that had grown up in the digital world, so that they're looking to, or they had a leading ad tech platform built for digital advertising, and they're trying to augment that to work for TV advertising. Now, that doesn't always work because these, not only is the technical plumbing very different in TV than it is in the digital world, but even the business models are different. So the biggest competitors we see are those teams within the media companies that I was referring to. So there's a handful of the larger media companies that have built their own teams to, one, build technology and to sort of strategize on what the market needs. So, you know, those are the ones that we see as competitors. And what we're trying to do in as we continue to mature the company is extend beyond ad sales. So we've been 100% focused on building optimization technology for ad sales organizations. But a lot of the pieces of our platform are relevant for other stakeholder groups within the company. So extending within that same enterprise to build tools for pricing optimization, for example, which is relevant to the pricing team, building tools that will help industry analysts forecast viewership for the reports they need to put together. So we start to see ourselves extending beyond strictly ad sales and making some of these tools available to other groups.
Great. Actually, that leads into another question I had, which has to do with forecasting, because I imagine it's challenging to forecast what a future episode of a program will do. But if it's at least a returning program, you have some benchmarks that you can work against. What data goes into predicting when you have a brand new show that's launching?
Yeah, it's a very hard problem. One of the inputs into forecasting are the estimates from the media companies' research team. So these media companies are billion-dollar organizations that have their own research team that are doing forecasting on their end. So as I was mentioning, the TV world, TV advertising world, really lives on selling on Nielsen, age, and gender. So the research teams within these media companies are intimate with being able to predict how many males 18 to 54 will be watching some program on their schedule, even if it's a new program. And they use, you know, various inputs towards making those forecasts. So their forecasts for these demographic targets are one of the inputs that feed into our forecasting for marathon runners. So we're using that as a baseline and then using additional data to essentially as a factor against what the experts within that media company have predicted for a traditional demo target.
Mm-hmm. Are there any issues for scaling your product? I mean, obviously we're seeing consolidation, for instance, you know, just the news recently about Fox and Disney, you know, big players getting bigger. So sort of two issues. One is does your product scale easily? And then what happens when the number of purchasers starts, you know, getting smaller because they're consolidating?
So I think scaling has a few aspects to it. One is scaling from a technical point of view. And, you know, the platform is, as we were mentioning with forecasting, but even more so with creating optimized TV schedules, is a very, very difficult problem. And it's, and I'm not referring to difficult in that we need smart people to solve this problem, which absolutely we need, but it's a difficult computational problem. Right. If you think about optimizing a TV schedule over a broadcast calendar, 365 days in a year, there's multiple day parts within a day, multiple programs within those day parts. And there are thousands of campaigns that thousands of brands that the programmer is selling to. So it's a, you know, what we call combinatorial optimization. It's putting together puzzles that have not an infinite number of solutions, but nearly infinite number of solutions to that. So it's a very hard computational problem. So from a technical point of view, we're doing things like other technology companies in other verticals are doing, having horizontal scalability with our technology stack. But it also comes down to how do we scale this for a managed service point of view. One of our focuses, in addition to providing optimization solutions, is in driving automation. None of this happens at scale. None of that cable programmer can't do this across 1,000 different customers across a broadcast calendar manually. You just simply cannot hire enough people to do that. So you have to automate. But automation doesn't happen overnight. Automation requires engineers to build that automation. So there's a period of time as you're starting to build that automation where you need to have operational people who are essentially filling the gap until those pieces are automated. So how do you scale that? You know, it's something we struggle with all the time. As this hockey stick starts to get steeper and steeper, we need to be ahead of that curve so that we don't get caught behind trying to scramble and making this stuff happen in advance of full automation.
Right, of course. And so that means just in terms of your staffing is, I imagine, expanding ahead of where it is. I mean, how is that organizationally for you to onboard a lot of people, or do you work with teams remotely in other locations who are, you know, contract workers? How do you do that from an organizational standpoint?
We actually have a very lean and mean operational team. So what we've done is we have been able to stay ahead of the game with respect to building that automation, but that's not easy to do. So we do have an ops team, but as I think where we can sometimes see challenges, that is for the pieces that aren't fully automated, where our machines are talking to the media owner machines to push instructions back and forth. And there does require a human element. If there are several deals that happen all at the same time, that's where we see spikes in where we start to go underwater, essentially. But, you know, we're an engineering heavy organization because what our aim has been from the beginning and up until now has been put this platform in place so that when that hockey stick hits, all of our customers have the tools in place to be able to take advantage of that spend that is shifting shifting towards these audience-based buys.
Right, right. So what's the process like for you when you're onboarding a new client? How does that, can you just walk me through that? Like how does that translate? Is the sales team also, you know, do they have this sort of engineering background? Are they purely sales? Do they stay on as a customer relationship manager? How many people are actually touching and talking to the client? How does that work?
Yeah, so when we're selling the platform into media companies, we're also often selling into the ad sales organization. So it's absolutely a long sales cycle, because if you think about this market, $72 billion, it's a very successful market.
And, just a bit.
That said, you know, one of the interesting things we once heard from a senior executive at one of the broadcasters is had a meeting, walked through the vision, walked through, you know, the changes that are happening to this world, or the changes that are starting to appear here in the TV advertising world. And he nodded his head. What you guys are doing is absolutely what the market needs. Just wait 6 years until I retire before you do this. You know, just a human aversion to change. So, you know, a lot of what we're doing in evangelizing what we're doing, but also just evangelizing these changes that are coming to the market and these demands that are coming from advertisers is what's happening and how you as the media company can benefit from this, and why there isn't a need to be scared. Yes, it's change. It may mean changes in the way that you approach the sales process, but these are new tools that would be put in your arsenal to enhance the way that you sell. So it is often a period of evangelism. And then it's a period of understanding how they want to be able to use these products. And onboarding is very different from the way the same media company may onboard digital technology into a digital SSP, where I don't want to make it sound easy, but you know, here's an ad tag and you're up and running. It, obviously, right. It's a little bit more involved than that, but the onboarding process in the digital world, and I had spent the 7 years in digital prior to TV, is a lot easier so than it is in TV, and that's because you do have a lot of, I'll call it, rusty systems that surround this big market, traffic and billing systems within these companies that might not have APIs. So it's working with the teams, the operational teams within these media companies to help them produce the files, the rate card files, the availability of inventory files, all the inputs that our system needs to produce its optimized schedules, helping work with them so that they can provide us the data, provided in an automated fashion through either APIs, if APIs do exist, or through files that are delivered to us, and working with those teams over time to make sure that the inputs are coming in, and then obviously working with the wider sales organization and the pricing and inventory teams to make sure that any tweaks to our core product that are needed in order to work, to be applicable to their business are put in place. It's a long answer to, it's probably a several month process of working with various stakeholder groups to get the various pieces in place. And at the same time, these media companies are training their sales team on not only how to use the product, but also just how to approach the sales process now that they have different ways of selling their ad inventory.
Right. As things move into an over-the-top world, are you purely, so you're purely just linear TV, or are you also, I know you, that's your initial focus is the linear TV, huge market, but obviously programs are, you know, TV everywhere and there's things over the top. Do you also bake that into the system as well? Or is that you would, you know, integrate your system into a different system that handles that stuff?
Yeah, so not an easy answer on that. So absolutely the latter, what you said. We will integrate ourselves into some of the existing execution systems that are used on the digital side. One, because we're not going to build a publisher side digital ad server, which is sort of what I like to call on the edge. That's the final system that is making a decision on, given Gabriella watching a video on Boston.com, you know, which ad should we serve for Boston.com? We're not going to build that. So we will integrate with those systems. But what we want to be able to do as cross-platform sales becomes a reality, and frankly, right now it's not. The sales teams within these media companies are siloed between TV and digital. The buying groups within agencies are siloed. And there is some leakage. There are some media companies and some agencies where these teams are coming together. And that's the way the world will go. But the reality is that right now that's not happening at scale. So, but when that starts to happen, our media company customers will need to be able to sell marathon runners across both linear TV and digital delivery of their content. And where we will fit is in not only optimizing linear TV schedules, but optimizing the allocation of budgets across online video and OTT and linear TV, forecasting audience within these digital environments as we do in the linear world. So those are the roles we'll play, where forecasting and we're optimizing and then passing off essentially instructions to the digital ad server to make the final placement of the ad.
So if I'm going back to our example about discovery, if I'm Discovery and I have acquired scripts, and then somebody wants to hit those marathon runners, does this technology work across both Discovery and scripts? I mean, does it, if you have a network family, is it, does it work across everybody as far as the linear world goes?
Sure. So when we're working with a media company in a private marketplace world, a multi-network media company, and Fox and Discovery are multi-network media companies, I think Discovery has about maybe 12 networks. And, you know, if and when the Scripps deal closes, that will put more networks under their family. A private marketplace is operating across all of those networks. Obviously, it comes down to a commercial arrangement between Clipped and Discovery around, does, will that apply across Scripps? But yeah, in general, a private marketplace is across all of the networks. And you know, that's a lot of times when you hear about the news this week about Disney and Fox, and there was Discovery and Scripps, a lot of times the analysis is around, you know, how this changed the ad sales game now that they have more networks. How does this change how they, those networks can negotiate with the MVPDs for carriage agreements? So absolutely, there's an impact to the way they can better sell their ad inventory.
Right. I would think that that's also just economies of scale. And so that's one of the things whenever you're merging, you're looking at where you can eliminate redundancies and create synergies. Let's put two management consulting buzzwords all in one sentence. So when you're, you know, you mentioned earlier about the gentleman who was like, just wait until I retire and people are change averse. I imagine there's some advice that you find yourself giving time and time again to people. And so what would you say is sort of the top advice that you find yourself sharing with clients?
Yeah. So there are some clients that are approaching this world and diving into this pool from a defensive point of view. I mean, the reality is that audience-based buying will be picking up. It is a minority of the $72 billion market today, but as that hockey stick appears, that will become a bigger and bigger portion of that spend. So some of the media companies are saying, I can't sit on the sidelines and watch this happen like some of my digital cousins did, but those digital cousins who said programmatic buying will, buying and selling will never happen in online video at scale. And sure enough, it did. And those that sat on the sidelines were harmed by that. And they don't want that to happen. So they're putting these tools in place so that they're not hurt by this when it does spike. And that's absolutely valid because these changes will come. But what we're often, and you know, as we evangelize within the industry and with potential customers, what we're talking about also is there are ways to not only use this as a defensive mechanism, but there's also ways to take this on the offense and be able to sell inventory that, or identify inventory that might have a high concentration of a really valuable audience. So now you're able to sell inventory that you otherwise wouldn't have been able to sell, or you can yield optimize where you can sell a given program for a higher rate because it has those marathon runners. Whereas prior to using these technologies, you didn't realize that, and it was, you know, potentially being sold for bottom of the barrel prices within direct response.
Great. Very smart. Well, we've actually already run through our time because it goes really fast when you have a lot of interesting things to say. So thank you so much for joining us. I really do appreciate it. It's really interesting. And I think it's interesting to see both what people say is happening and then where things are, you know, sort of in the actual execution of it. And what's real, what's still not quite happening yet, and where things are headed. So thank you so much for sharing with us. I really appreciate it.
Great. Thanks for having me, Gabriella.
I'd like to close by thanking a few important people who've helped bring the program to life. First, my friend, Rob Naughton, the amazing voice artist who recorded our open. And of course, thanks to my production team over at Microfame Media. And a big thank you to our guest, Jason Burke. And of course, most importantly, all of you, the members of our amazing audience, thank you. I'll be talking to you again next week, right here on Up Next.